Good evening. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 90. The book of Psalms, chapter 90. Good to see all of you here in this midweek service. Psalms, chapter 90. If we could, this Sunday morning after the morning service, for about 5 to 10 minutes max, if you are interested in the Honduras trip that we are praying about, if you could hang around just a little bit after church, if you're interested in it, so I can give you some information this Sunday morning. Shouldn't be more than 5 minutes. Just a few items I got to run across the group that would like to continue praying about that. So that's this Sunday morning after the morning service. Give me a little moment to shake hands with visitors and folks leaving out. And if you'll just wait for me, we'll get right at it. Won't keep you long, I promise. Matter of fact, if you'll remind me, Sunday morning, I'll cut off 6 minutes of our sermon. I was just seeing somebody take the bait. That means we'd have to cut off 6 minutes of the 2 o'clock service. No, it shouldn't take long. It's just I want to put some information out there so we can stay informed and keep it moving forward in prayer. That's what we want to do. Psalms chapter 90. I had the privilege this week of going over to Dr. Phillips and preaching at their high school. For the Fellowship of Christian Athletes group that Brother James oversees. James invited me, and I was able to speak with them, and I had a wonderful time over there. It was a good time of being with those guys, seeing that at such a large school that there are some Christians that are there. They even talked about their meeting at the flagpole coming up, meeting here. I think it was maybe this coming week. They announced, had a bunch of announcements. I don't know, didn't get every date, but 9th through 12th grade, there's 3,400 students over there. And had a Christian group. I could take my Bible and open it up on the public school grounds, and I preached about Jesus Christ and mentioned his name open, and he's the only way. Felt real good to be able to do such, that there's still a little light shining in the midst of all that. I had a good time over there. So pray for those types of groups. They're needful. Pray that there will be more coaches that would be more open, involved, because if the coaches get involved, then the athletes will follow right along, I believe. You know, so that was a good opportunity. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 9. I used the same text to speak to them the other day and Tuesday, and so I wanted Monday. Actually, it was Monday, and so I wanted to use it again tonight because I thought it was very needful for the hour, for the day in which we live in. Verse number 9 of chapter 90. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Now, many of us could look back from our early childhood and tell a story about how our life has gone, and that's how it is. Unfortunately, you know, we can tell that story probably in about 12 minutes max. From the earliest memories we have up to present, we could tell the story, but life certainly has been lived much longer than 12 minutes. Because when the story is told, it's mainly the highlights of the tale. You know, you tell about the impactful moments. Say, if you're saved, an impactful moment in your life should be the day you got saved. That should be a moment and that is very highly impacted in our life. And so we spend our years As a tale that's told, I wonder, at the end of our life, how's the story going to be told? How are we going to finish those final chapters? Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. So, generally speaking, 70 years. And if by reason of strength there be 80, maybe can make it to 80. There are several that's lived past that. We've had some funerals here in the past couple of years back that have been folks in their mid-90s. And so some do get past that. I saw a picture the other day of a lady who's turning 113. And so you do have some that get past that point of, but this, generally speaking, lifespan, this is about it. You know, around that age, you know, praise God for it and the life and length of years that you've enjoyed, because a lot of lives have been snuffed out before 70, before 80. So you've been blessed with some long, long years of service for God. It says there, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. Well, we should get an amen right there, huh? For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And that's what's fixing to happen to this fly. Death. This thing's about to get all over me. But in our tale, in our story, there's sorrow, labor, troubles and difficulties, heartaches. But it's a fleeting moment. It's going to soon be cut off. Whatever difficulties, whatever hardship, whatever things you're going through, they're going to be cut off. Verse number 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's kind of a unique statement there. Teach us to number our days. That's the real reason that is because our days are numbered. It's kind of speaking back into it, right? You only have so many days on this earth. Life consists of the past, right now, and the future. That's what life is all about. And most people live one or two ways. They either live their life in the past through regret, or they live in the future through wishful thinking. Like a person would say, one day I'm gonna get to the point where I am going to be able to bench press 350 pounds. And they sit around and think about it. And when they get them a little 5-pound curl and they work out a little bit, man, I'm going to be able to get this one day. And they tell their buddies, one day, you know, there's going to be a day I'm going to be able to bench press 350 pounds. And then never go beyond the 5-pound curl. It's wishful thinking. And we just think of it. And we sit around, we think about what we're going to do. Meanwhile, today, the day that we have passes us by. So we live our life one or two ways. So today, I want to encourage you this afternoon, just for a short period of time, let's get an understanding of what today really means. Now, here's the misunderstanding of today. Here it is. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Oh, wait, preacher, you're confusing me. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. How many of you can think back about something you worried about yesterday that hadn't come past today? Or, today is the yesterday you will regret tomorrow. Let me say those two again. This is a misunderstanding about today. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Today is the yesterday you will regret tomorrow if you're not careful. You've got to get to the point where you understand something. We can only truly concern ourselves with what we can control. That's it. We spend up too much energy on things that are outside our control. Too much energy. Now, what is the importance of today? Well, we're to number our days because we all have a certain amount of days. I wish I knew how many days those were, Brother Ray. And may I put it to you like this? I posted a quote about 2 months ago when I was up at Gospel Light Baptist Church up in Tallahassee. I was preaching. Brother Clark took us out to eat at a barbecue place, and on the wall, it had a big old plaque and said this: "If you knew today was the last day that you would play, how hard would you play?" If you knew that. We don't know. We don't know that this is not. But the importance of today is this. Today is all you really have. Preach y'all, come on. Now it's almost 8 o'clock at night. Day's gone. But I want you to get the picture. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, put your feet on the ground. That's it. You cannot pay a guarantee down for tomorrow. Because if that was the fact, if that was the case, a lot of folks could go out, take them out a loan, and pay for tomorrow if they knew they was going to die tomorrow. So let's move it on forward so we can get things right. No, you can't do it. There's nothing you can do to guarantee tomorrow. Something else you cannot change yesterday. Every one of us have something, even this very day, that we would have changed. But you can't change it. Once done, it's done. Now, there's forgiveness. There is forgiveness. But you can't change it. It is what it is. So today is the first day of the rest of your life. Preacher, you are speaking in riddles today. I know it. But I'm being truthful with you. All those mistakes you made yesterday, all those heartaches you know that you're holding on to and you're dragging around like a ball and chain, today is the only day you can do anything about it. The very next minute in front of you. 2 minutes ago, it's gone. I can't change it. Can't do nothing about it. So what are we going to do with today? How are we going to use today? How are we going to use? Let me tell you something. We need to learn from yesterday. We need to learn from the past. We need to learn from 3 or 4 minutes ago. We need to learn the lesson that was put before us that we either did very well at or we simply failed at. We learned the lesson, but then we let it go. Because we can't change it. We let it go at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've wronged, or if we've done wrong, or we've transgressed, we lay it there. Lord, forgive me. Messed up once again. Lord, forgive me. I messed up. Doesn't have to be once again. Lord, I'm sorry. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us. We learned the lesson. Well, that didn't go too well that way, so I think I'm not going to try that again. But you know what happens when we hang on to those thoughts and regrets and this bitterness of yesterday's past? They become a cycle. We end up repeating them. Continue doing them. Back over and over again. The Bible says something like this: a dog returns to his vomit. Preacher, my stomach's hurting it. What do we do? If we're not careful, we don't learn the lesson, we're going to return right back to it. Learn the lesson, forget it. Plan, but don't live for tomorrow. Because if you're living for tomorrow, you're going to miss all kinds of opportunities today to be a blessing and serve God today. Now don't be foolish. Understand what I'm saying? Plan. But don't live for tomorrow. Live for today. Because the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Now. We need to learn to live now. Now, how do we use today? How are we going to, tomorrow morning when we wake up, because this day's far spent, we're almost into the dark. And you know, we should work until Jesus comes. So how are we going to use the days that we have been allotted? Mine may be, by God's grace, 70. They may be 80. They may be extended. They may be shortened. And just because they're shortened doesn't mean God's not in control. So how are we going to do it? Let me encourage you. Daily practice being thankful for the hour that you've been given. When you wake up in the morning, because I'm going to tell you something, dear friend, life is busy. Life is busy. My alarm, I don't even have an alarm clock, but my body clock wakes up, it gets me up, and before I know it, it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, what in the world happened? Preacher, no, it's not like that. School is out. Kids got about 20 more days. It seems like we just started. I don't know how many days y'all have to spend in school. Was it about 180 or something like that? By law? It's gone. We're at the end of another school year. Make it a practice to be thankful for the day. Well, preacher, I don't feel good. Preacher, I'm getting a little bit wore out. A thankful heart is good. Bible says like a merry heart is good, like a medicine. Be thankful. Preacher, I'm not going to be thankful. It don't matter. You're still going to have 24 hours and you'll be a grump. Eeyore. Negative. Sourpuss. And make everybody else around you negative. Sourpusses. And boy, won't that be good? Be like getting a bunch of gobstoppers, these sour things just throwing off in your mouth. Be thankful. Be grateful. And let me tell you something. How about just simply and enjoy it for a little while? You know why you're not enjoying the day that the Lord has given you? Because you're living for tomorrow. You're living for what has took place in the past. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Not only that, dear friend. Use every bit of your day for the Lord. Every 24 hours you have, I don't even have any minutes that is. 24 times 60 is a whole bunch. Every minute. Use every minute. Don't waste. You know the Bible talks about the wasting and wanting. The idle mind is the devil. I mean, stay busy. Use it. And enjoy it and do your best with it, the best you can do. Quit measuring yourself up to your co-worker, to the other co-worker, or to your dad, and to your mom, or to your sister, your aunts, your uncles. Quit measuring up to them and put your measurement against Christ and say, Lord, what do you want from me? And do the best with the day that you can do. And at the end of the day, like the scripture says, whether absent or present, whether absent or present, I may please Him. At the end of the day, say, Lord, I want to hear well done in that still small voice. You hear it. I hear it. When I lay my head down at night and I just go to close my eyes, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God and my conscience convicts me. Yeah, about 2 hours there, buddy, you wasted today. That's not a well done. But other times, boy, I hear, preacher, you hearing voices? And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God inside of me that lives in you. If you're saved, speaks to me softly and says, sleep with peace. You're okay. You've done all that you could do. Preachers, there are times you've gone to bed and it hadn't been everything you wanted accomplished. Sure. But all that I could accomplish, I put my task, my hand to it, and I went to it. And if it didn't get done, it wasn't because the effort wasn't there. Do the best you can with it. Leave the results up to God. You know why preachers are getting out left and right out of the ministry? They're trying to build a church. Well, the Bible says if we labor in vain, if we build it, the Lord must build the house. As the day comes, take every bit of the responsibility of that day at hand, and you be responsible for it. Own it, because the Lord's given it to you. He's given it to you. Grasp every opportunity that comes your way to be kind, generous, gentle, tender, forgiving, forbearing, long-suffering. Every grasp, I'm just take it by the horns and say, hey, this opportunity is for me. Opportunity passes a lot of people by. Oh, I hate my school. I hate my teacher. I hate. What opportunity? Just for a moment. 12 years will be gone. You'll be in college. 4 more years if you stay in college. You'll have maybe 2 years. Maybe you don't even go to college. Maybe you just get you a job before long because you don't take opportunities at hand. You're just left wanting. Take opportunities and grasp and say, Lord, I'm going to be faithful with what you have given me. And do not hold back from the day. You know, tomorrow when you wake up, some of you got some decisions you got to make that's kind of scary. Put your hand in the hand of God, walk forward, and let Him guide and direct you. Last thing, and this one here ought to stick with you because it is biblically true. We need to start learning to live as one that's going to give account for their day. Because every one of us are going to look Jesus in the white of the eye and give an account what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. I don't know what we're thinking, how we're thinking, or if we're not even thinking. Maybe that's the thing. We're not even thinking. We're going through the motions. The devil's got us so busy with life. I mean, we can't even pause for a moment. We're so busy. He's hoodwinked us thinking we're not going to give an account. You're not your own. God is a God of accountability. You understand how good His accountability system works? Think about the sun and the moon, how it comes up, sits, comes up, sits, comes up, sits. Right on time. Doesn't miss a beat. He's careful to keep good records. Preacher, but why? Does He want to hold that over my head? No. His whole desire is at the end of the whole thing, at the very end of life, to be able to say, come on home. Welcome. Well done. He doesn't do it to hold over your head. We don't have a mean old God up there in heaven. Oh, I want to get on him. I want to beat him up. Lord, no. He sent His only begotten Son that we might be escape the wrath of God through salvation. But there is judgment. And you will give an account. So, quit living your life half. Quit living. Well, I don't even know how to say it. Quit half living. Because you're in the present. So you're either halfway thinking about the back and living today, or you're halfway thinking about tomorrow, living today. Live life to its fullness. Quit wishing your life away. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd have married that. I wish I would have went to school. I wish I didn't go to school. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. Quit. It ain't changing. I tell you what my grandma used to say about all that wishing, and my mother-in-law, but it probably would be a little bit wish in one hand, y'all get the rest. Today is what you have. Take it, use it, love it, cherish it, and be blessed. Be blessed. Can I say something to you, dear friend? Outside of the day you got saved, today is the very best day of your life. You just didn't walk in my shoes. If you're saved, the Lord said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He went right through every bit of hurt, pain, heartache, and suffering you went through today, right along beside you. And when you wake up in the morning, He'll take you by the hand. He'll just lead you right on through. Right on through. Father, I thank You for this day. Thank You for this here passage of Scripture. God, teach us to number our days. Lord, none of us.